From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. Most Christians understand that prayer is an important part of their spiritual life. But if God already knows everything, then what's the point of praying? And what sort of things should we pray for? Last time we acknowledged the fact that while praying effectively is simple, praying consistently can be quite a challenge. So today I'm going to share biblical truths that can help all of us become more disciplined about talking with God. My message is titled, The Power of Faith Kneeling, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
God never intended for the Holy Spirit to be a mystery to believers. If you're a follower of Jesus, then God's Spirit is dwelling inside of you, and He's waiting to unleash His power in your life. In his best-selling book, I Want More, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches what it means to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Looking to satisfy your spiritual cravings? Request the book, I Want More, when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory.
Praying consistently is difficult, but the truth is praying effectively is quite simple. Nevertheless, many of us struggle with maintaining a consistent prayer life. And I believe we will never unleash God's power through prayer in our life until we have four questions about prayer answered. Today, in the final moments we have, we're going to look at two of those questions, and we're going to look at the final two questions next week. The first question that many of us have, but few of us have the guts to ask, is this question. And that is, why should we pray if God's going to do what he wants to do anyway? Now, have you ever wondered about that? I mean, why should we pray if God is sovereign and he's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway? I was actually asked that question one time by a deacon on a Wednesday night when we were walking down the hallway on the way to prayer meeting. Now, Pastor, why are we going down here to pray if God's going to do what he wants to do anyway? Does prayer actually change God's will and plan, or does it simply change us? Now, people go to one of two extremes when they talk about the relationship between prayer and God's sovereignty. There are some people who say that God is actually limited in what he can do by our willingness to pray. To say that God is limited with what he can do by our willingness to pray is to strip God of his sovereignty. God can do whatever he chooses to do. Remember in Romans chapter 9, God is talking about God's sovereign election. He says, Jacob have I chosen, Esau have I hated, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. And then in Romans 9:16, Paul says, so then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, God can do whatever he chooses to do. He doesn't need me to do it. One extreme about prayer is to say that somehow God is limited in what he can do by my willingness to pray. On the other end of the spectrum, though, are those people who would say, well, God is sovereign, God is in control, and my prayers make no difference whatsoever. Now, these are the same people who say, well, you know, God's going to save whomever he is going to save. He doesn't need me to witness in order to save them. How do we reconcile God's sovereignty with our responsibility to witness? I like what one theologian says. He says, God has not only ordained the end result, he's ordained the means to the end. Yes, God has decided who's going to be saved. He has elected certain individuals to salvation. You can't believe the Bible and not believe that. But even though God has ordained the end, who's going to be saved, he has also ordained the means by which those people are going to be saved. And it's by their hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How will they believe upon him whom they have not heard, Paul asked. God has ordained who's going to be saved, but he's also ordained how they're going to be saved, and it is by you and me sharing the gospel with them. Now, folks, it is the same way with prayer. God has all of these incredible things he wants to do for you. He has a tremendous plan for your life. Remember the words in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for calamity. A plan to give you a future and a hope. There is an infinite amount of things, good things, God wants to do for your life. How do those blessings come into your life? The means by which they come into your life is through prayer. God has ordained the good things he wants to do for you, but he's also ordained the means by which those good things are going to come into your life, and it is through prayer. Why should I pray if God is going to do what he wants to do anyway? Well, the simple answer is because he's told us to pray. But the real answer is prayer is the channel, the means by which those good things come into my life. And that leads to a second question about prayer. Okay, what sort of things should I pray for? What sort of things should I pray for? Is it wrong to pray for a bigger house, a better job, a larger salary? Is it more spiritual to pray, Lord, heal me? Or should I be praying, Lord, your will be done? Again, Christians go to one of two extremes. There are some people who kind of see God as a divine bellhop in heaven. And prayer is the buzzer that we use to summon his attention whenever we need him to carry out our purpose. Other people, sickened by that kind of idea about prayer, they go to the other extreme and they say, you know what? You should never ask God for anything selfish. I remember hearing people say, teach about prayer, the most simple, elementary, immature way to pray is to pray for me. Lord, do this for me. Do this for me. And once you get past that childish kind of praying, the next level of prayer is to pray for other people. Lord, do this for Sally. Do this for Jim. Praying for other people. But then they say when we reach the highest state of maturity in our spiritual life, we don't pray for ourselves. We don't pray for other people. We simply pray for the will of God to be done. Now, there's a Greek term for that kind of teaching, hogwash. Okay? The Bible tells us we need to pray for ourselves. The Bible says we ought to pray for other people. The Bible says we ought to also pray for the glory of God. And we find a balanced view of how to really pray, the kinds of things we ought to be praying for in Matthew chapter 6. Now, let me remind you what occasioned what we call the Lord's Prayer. In Luke's account of this story, the disciples actually came to Jesus. And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this way. He never said, when you pray, pray this prayer. I had people ask me in our first track class, you know, why don't we pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday like other churches? The reason is, Jesus never instructed us to pray this prayer. Nowhere in the New Testament do you find this prayer ever being repeated. The Lord's Prayer is not a mantra to be repeated. It is a model to be followed in our praying. And so Jesus said, here are the components of an effective prayer that reaches heaven. First of all, our prayer ought to begin with a praise of God's name. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not like children think sometimes. It's not Halloween be your name. It is hallowed be your name. That word hallowed simply means holy is your name. Before we begin rushing at God with all of our requests and the things we want to have done for us, we need to take a moment and remember how holy God's name is. Remember, a person's name is simply representative of who that person is. When Jesus said, remember the holiness of God's name, what he's really saying is remember how holy God is. That word holy means separate, a cut above, different. When we come into God's presence, we ought to praise him that he is not like we are. God, thank you for being loving, even though I deserve your judgment. God, thank you for being faithful, even when I'm faithless. God, thank you for being wiser and having a good plan for my life, even though I don't know what that plan is. We take a moment and we praise God for who he is, the fact that he is different than we are. And then secondly, Jesus said, we need to get something settled early in our prayer, and that is the priority of God's purpose. Look at verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we say, God, may your kingdom come, what are we saying? The kingdom of God is one of those terms we all throw around, but I think very few of us have a real understanding of. What do we mean when we talk about the kingdom of God? When we're praying for God's kingdom to come, we are praying for the future return of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. A king's kingdom consists of that area wherever what the king wants done gets done. It is the area over which he rules. For example, the king of Egypt is sovereign. He is ruler over the citizens of Egypt. He has total authority over them. They submit to him. But the king of Egypt has absolutely no authority over us. If you get a letter from the Egyptian government telling them that you owe them 20% of your income, an income tax, you probably aren't going to send that money to Egypt, are you? Why? Because they have no authority over you. The king has no authority over you. It's the same way with God's kingdom. God's kingdom is that area wherever what God wants done gets done. Now, what does God's kingdom consist of? Well, the Bible says he's king, he's sovereign over all the universe. Well, that is true theologically. God is in control of everything that happens, but there is one small corner of his universe where God's will is not being done right now. There's one small corner in the universe where there is a rebellion against God's kingdom, and it's that speck in the universe called planet Earth. Right now on planet Earth, there are a group of God's creations that are rebelling against him. But that rebellion won't last forever. There is coming a time when God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will return and he will rule over all the earth. And the Bible says at that time, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Kyrios. He is Lord. He is sovereign over all. But right now, we're living in that time when God's kingdom, his rule, is not total over all of his creation. There is that rebellion going on right now. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we're saying, Lord, we are praying for the future return of Jesus Christ. But notice the second phrase, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is a prayer for the present rule of God on the earth and specifically in my life. See, here's what the Bible calls the mystery of the kingdom of God. All throughout the New Testament, in Matthew 13, Jesus talked about the mystery of the kingdom of God. And here's the mystery. The mystery is the future kingdom is coming. Jesus is going to return one day. But right now, the kingdom of God occurs in the lives of individual believers who are submitting to God's kingdom. And so when we pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what we're saying is, Lord, I want to obey your rule right now. Even though other people around me are not submitting to your rule, right now I am submitting to your sovereignty over my life. Lord, may your will be done in my life, just as it is being done in heaven. Why should we submit ourselves to God's rule over our life? You know, how many of you are looking forward to going to heaven? Would you just raise your hand? I mean, heaven is somewhat appealing to you. What is it about heaven you're looking most forward to? Well, some people say, well, I'm looking forward to just being free from worrying all the time. I just worry all the time. I'm just looking forward to the time I don't have to worry about anything. Guess what? You don't have to die to experience freedom from worry. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. You can have that right now. Some people say, well, I'm looking forward to just not worrying about money anymore. It's just a constant battle, you know, knowing if I'm going to have enough. I'm just looking forward to the time I don't have to be concerned about finances. Guess what? You don't have to die to be content with your financial situation. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. Some people say, I'm looking forward to heaven because I won't have to be enslaved to sin anymore. I won't have to be enslaved to addictions, to wrong relationships, to the things that are destroying my life. You don't have to die to experience that. Paul said to the Roman Christians, he said, so do not let sin reign over your mortal bodies that you should obey its lust. What I'm saying to you folks is, you don't have to die to experience the benefits of the kingdom of God. The fact is, to the extent that you and I submit to God's rule in our life, we can experience the benefits of the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes I really wonder why some Christians even want to go to heaven. I mean, think, what is it that's going to characterize heaven? Heaven is going to be characterized by total, complete obedience to the will of God, isn't it? There's not going to be one creature in the new heaven and the new earth that rebels against God. And if we are rebelling against God's will right now, if we think the last thing I want to do is to obey God in my life, why do we think we're going to be in heaven one day where all we do is going to obey God day and night? What do you think is going to change in your life between now and then that suddenly is going to make you want to obey God? If you don't want to obey him now, there's nothing that's going to change in your life that's going to make you want to obey him in heaven. When you pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what we're really praying is, God, I am going to obey your preceptive will. That part of your will that has been revealed to me right now, Father, I'm going to get this settled in my heart. I am going to start obeying you so that I can start benefiting from the blessings of the kingdom. When we pray, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. We're first of all saying, God, I acquiesce. I submit to your preceptive will. Those commands in Scripture that I know to be true. But we're also saying something else. When we say, God, your will be done in my life, we're saying, God, I submit to your providential will. See, a lot of things about God's will, we don't know ahead of time until they happen, do we? There are a lot of concerns we have that we can talk to God about, but we really don't know if it's God's will or not. We can say, Lord, I really want this relationship to be healed. Truthfully, we don't know whether that's God's will or not to heal that relationship in many cases. We can say, God, I'm out of work now. I need this particular job that has opened up, and we can pray for that, but we don't know when we pray if that job is really God's will for us or not. We can pray when illness strikes in ourselves or in a loved one. We can say, God, heal us, heal them from that disease, but when we pray, the truth is we don't know if it's God's will to heal or not. So what does it mean to pray, God, your will be done? Here's what it means. It says, God, this is what I want. I'm going to be very honest in what I want, God. This is what I'm asking you to do. But I also realize that you know best. And ultimately, I'm submitting myself to your providential will. Isn't that what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he knelt there, he prayed in great agony. That sweat like blood fell to the ground. He said, Father, if you are willing, let this experience pass from me. We skip over that too often. We don't realize that Jesus really did not want to go to the cross. He really didn't want to do it. Do you blame him? Not just the physical, horrendous suffering that the cross represented, but the spiritual suffering of being separated from God. Who could blame Jesus for not wanting to go to the cross? He was very honest with God. He said, God, if you are willing, please, another way, let this cup be removed from me. But then he added, yet not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done on earth in my life as it's being done in heaven right now. And in some inexplicable way, what were two wills, God's will and Jesus' will, were molded into one will. When we're praying to God, we need to be honest and tell him what we want. But then we make that final acquiescence to God's will. Not my will, your will be done.
God has an infinite number of blessings he wants to pour into your life. And prayer is the channel through which those blessings, plans, and purposes flow. Well, every day we receive notes from individuals who share how this Bible teaching ministry has become their spiritual lifeline. For instance, I recently heard from Susan, who listens to Pathway to Victory in Kansas. Susan wrote, Pastor, I live with depression and anxiety, but you shared a powerful message that I needed to hear. I haven't always been in a good relationship with God, but I am still learning how to be faithful, and I look forward every morning to your message. Susan, thanks so much for your willingness to write to us and encourage us. And to those of you who give to Pathway to Victory, your voluntary gifts are helping us reach people like Susan and millions more. So thank you not only for giving to support this ministry, but for bringing hope and light to a world shrouded in darkness. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
The Bible promises that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our lives will never be the same. And yet many Christians feel discouraged and defeated in their daily walk. Perhaps you feel the same.
If you're longing for something more in your relationship with God, you're not alone. At one time, I felt unsatisfied and powerless to change it. But by God's grace, I discovered how to deploy the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And today, I want to help you discover that as well in my best-selling book, I Want More.
The book, I Want More, was written with you in mind to help you build spiritual strength as you pursue a fresh way to unleash God's supernatural power in every area of your life. Request a copy of I Want More when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete CD and DVD teaching set for this month's series called Unleashed.
The same power of God that flung billions of galaxies into existence with a single word. The same power of God that lifted Jesus Christ out of the grave, that same power of God is in you right now.
Thank you so much for your support. Your generous giving will help us encourage viewers just like you as we continue to impact you and our nation with the truth of God's Word.
We're to praise God's name for who He is. We're to pray for God's will to be done, not just in the future, but right now on earth. Those aren't the only things we're to pray for. God says it's okay to pray for selfish things as well. And next time, we're going to finish looking at how we should pray for our needs. And then we're going to answer the question I bet everybody wants to know, but few have had the courage to ask. Why doesn't God answer all of my prayers? Stay tuned for a preview of my answer to that question coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress' best-selling book called I Want More. Plus, the Jesus Map is our gift to you simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete CD and DVD teaching set for the series Unleashed. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
How many of you this morning have ever asked God to do something that He didn't do? Would you raise your hand? That's all of us, isn't it? I mean, we all wrestle with this problem of unanswered prayer. Why is it that God sometimes says no to our request? Well, the Bible gives three possible answers for unanswered prayer.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Effective Prayers, here on Pathway to Victory.